Hello and welcome to another amazing episode of the Fantastic Mr. Podcast. Tonight we're going to take a look at all the Spider-Man on TV and film. We'll take a look at the beginnings of Spider-Man up to the present. So let's sit back, relax, and have an amazing time as we talk about one of my favorite superheroes, Spider-Man. As I stated before, I used the word amazing a couple times because instead of fantastic, because we're talking about Spider-Man. So before we get started, I'm Justin Strange here with my two lovely co-hosts, Zach Briggs and Jerome Kramers. Say hello, guys.
Yerp.
Hello.
Hello.
Let's look at some history of Spider-Man. I think everybody knows where Spider-Man originally came from, but I'm going to tell you again because I got it right here in front of me. So Spider-Man is a comic book character, of course. Originally came out in 1962 in Amazing Fantasy number 15 as a fill-in. So they had, I guess they had something cancel, and so they threw Spider-Man in there. And like, it was Steve Ditko and Stan Lee that created Spider-Man, and nobody wanted to do Spider-Man except for those two. Because nobody wanted a teenager as the lead, as opposed to him being a sidekick, you know? Because, like, teens, especially in DC, you know, you have Robin, you have Superboy, Aqualad, Speedy, like, all these different sidekicks that were all teenagers. And then here's Marvel going, this is going to be the lead. This is the superhero. And so that's what they did. And so Amazing Fantasy 15 came out and it was a huge success. So they started creating him they gave him his own series. And so that's kind of how
we're. Yeah, that's something.
Yeah. So
Amazing Fantasy. Is that where the Amazing Spider-Man came from then?
I don't know. I guess I never thought of that. Oddly enough. I guess. Yeah, probably. Because he came from Amazing Fantasy. Anyway, so let me ask you guys. When was the first time you saw Spider-Man on a screen? Not a comic book or whatever, a screen. And it can be animated, it can be live action, whatever.
Probably the 90s for me on a VHS.
Was it the animated
Spider-Man
show?
Yeah, it's like a compilation of some episodes from the 90s show, I believe. That was my first exposure to Spider-Man. And comics for my dad, even though he said not to bring up comics, but that was also one of my first exposures.
Comics, I'm not a dictator.
Yeah, you sure? But it was Daredevil and Spider-Man that were first introduced to me for the MCU characters or Marvel characters. And then 2002 came. I was in Montana and visiting my great grandmother, and we asked her if she wanted to go see Spider-Man. And she didn't. So it was just me, my mom and dad. And
see you later, Granny.
Yeah. Yeah, we're out of here.
I remember vividly. It was an independent theater in Kalispell, Montana, a small town. And yeah, I don't know, for whatever reason, out of all the movies I remember seeing as a kid, something about Spider-Man captivated me as a kid. And this the character of Peter Parker and Tobey Maguire's take on it, kind of wholesome, awkward guy, but someone you could really empathize with, even as a kid. I think Willem Dafoe as Norman Osborn / Green Goblin was
even
wonderful.
Then,
he was excellent.
Even then, like, I thought he was crazy, but that was the whole thing, right? Him supposed to be crazy. And he did a great job at it. What about you, Jake? I know you're a sheltered little boy. Are you frozen?
Yeah, just a little boy. Definitely. I don't know. Spider-Man, Sam Raimi Spider-Man from 2002. I don't even think I was into superheroes before that. I don't know why I froze. Am I froze?
Well, you were froze. Why don't you start your statement over? Because you started, I think, in the middle of it. You're not frozen anymore now, though. but your audio kind of started in the middle of your statement.
Okay. All right. Definitely Sam Raimi's Spider-Man from 2002. I was definitely a sheltered little lad, and I don't even think I was into superheroes until this came out. This is really my foray into superheroes, comics in general. Up until then, I was always playing with like G.I. Joe.
Okay,
aren't hearing a word I'm saying, are you?
No, we heard it. We heard every bit of it. I heard every bit of it. Do you hear every bit of it, Zach?
Oh, good.
So I heard something about G.I. Joe at the end.
I just heard you going definitely.
Oh, I heard you. Definitely. So I think, well, it's because he said definitely twice in like one sentence. And so I was kind of making fun of you. But yeah, I heard you. You said you watched, it was Sam Raimi's Spider-Man. And that's kind of your first time ever watching superheroes or seeing superheroes.
Yeah.
I listen. And if I heard it, then I think it's good.
Okay.
Okay. So as for me, I think I vaguely remember like the 60s Spider-Man cartoon coming on when I was a kid, but I didn't really watch it like that and like Superman and all that stuff. But it was when 2002, same as you guys, it's like Spider-Man came out and I didn't go to theaters to see it, but I do remember getting the movie on DVD and watching it and thinking this is so freaking cool. Except for the first time he climbs up a wall, you could totally tell that was CGI, but
even back then, something.
Even back then, I wasn't like that's CGI, but I was like, oh, that looks weird, because it was totally. CGI.
What's funny is that's what got that movie greenlit with the production studio. They weren't gonna fund it, and they used CGI to make that first sequence of Spidey chasing his uncle's killer, and they told the studio that was actually Peter Maguire, and the studio believed them, and that's how they got funding.
Tobey Maguire. You mixed.
Did I say Tobey Maguire?
You said Peter.
Man, I think it's well established. My mouth goes faster than my brain. You guys know what I'm talking about.
That's true. I get you. What you're talking about.
It was a computer. Not a real life man.
Sounds kind of familiar with the whole Deadpool thing. You know, somebody leaked all the Deadpool like test footage, and that's how the movie got made, because somebody leaked this CGI version.
Somebody, Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Anyway. So 2002 Spider-Man. That was Tobey Maguire. Like you said, Zach, we could talk about it in a minute, because we're going to go through kind of all the Spider-Man's
different iterations.
So, of course, there was the comic. I know we're not going to stay on that very long, but I don't know if you guys have ever read the first Spider-Man comic before, but it's very like cheesy, and Peter is supposed to be a teenager, but he looks like he's a full grown man, which is the same with the 67 animated series. You know, he looks like he's supposed to be a teenager, but he's like, he looks like he's like 30 years old. Like, even as an animated character, it's like, come on, man. But then, there's the 1967 Spider-Man, and I think that's the one with the iconic Spider-Man theme song that we all know and love. I can't sing it because, you know, rights and stuff. But
you sing it a little bit.
No,
it's fair use to an extent. Yeah. It's fair use.
It's not fair use.
Justin likes to play by the rules.
Yeah, that's not fair use.
Sing a little bit, Justin.
Oh, it's not really fair use, is it? Well, we're not making money off of it. So I technically, if I wanted to, I probably could and get away with it. But I'm not going to, just to be safe.
Hey, just a little bit. Do a little hit. Do a couple notes. I know you sang in choir. I know you got a good voice, Justin. Do a little bit.
Just because I sang in choir doesn't mean I have a good voice.
That's not what I heard. I heard you have a melodious, you have a wonderful voice.
I don't think you ever heard that from anybody ever at any time in your life.
I could play it on my clarinet.
I just want you to sing a little song.
Jake and I could do a duet.
Jake? Why would Jake do a duet with you?
Because clarinet as well.
I play clarinet.
Oh, that's right. That's right, bro.
The program here.
Come on, bro. That's the first thing Zach and I connected over.
Yeah. I guess Zach and I connect.
We went on an hour car ride and we listened to like NPR's Smooth Jazz Hour.
Oh my God. We
probably did. Yeah. 89.1, I think.
No, I'm not going to sing. Even if I could, I'm not gonna say because I don't want to.
Listeners, get in the comments. Get in the comments now. Let us know you want to hear Justin sing.
Oh man, I really hope people comment because then I'll know that people listen. Like, oh my god. Okay, back to the episode. I think right.
Get the pressure up, Justin. Let's resume the episode.
Jeez. Okay. Yeah, so 1967 Spider-Man, I do remember watching that a little bit. And I actually watched some of it as an adult. It's kind of fun to watch as an adult because it's super cheesy, you know? And it's like one of those cartoons where they tell you everything they're doing out loud. They're like, I got to do this because if I don't, then so-and-so will find me and blah, 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 blah. And it's just like they're thinking out loud and because they have to speak as opposed to being silent.
Do you think they also do that because it was a relatively new character and people didn't know anything about it?
I don't know. I mean, he wasn't relatively new. Well, yeah, I guess he was at this point.
I don't know. In red comics, people watched television. So for a lot of people, it's probably a new experience for them. And I think the age of the 60s for superheroes in general was that cheesy, corny,
oh yeah,
good feel. I mean, you have the Batman and Robin series, there's numerous other, you had Scooby-Doo, even just the tone of Scooby-Doo was similar in tone.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I didn't really think about that. It's just like there's no really, I mean, anywhere dark television shows, because there's even like sitcoms and stuff that, you know, make people laugh and whatnot.
I mean, it's
no real dramas.
It's referred to the golden age for a reason, is it not?
I guess around the 60s, because it was heading into the 70s. The 50s more the golden age of television. But I guess you could say it was like residual golden age.
Well, I meant or more bronze the golden age, silver age of comics.
Oh,
wasn't the comics, 60s absolutely considered the golden age of comics?
I think the golden age of comics was like the 30s to the 50s. This might have been the silver age of comics.
Folks, you can tell I don't read comics.
Yeah. Old comics, old, like almost 100 years old comics. That's where the golden age stuff is. Now, the amazing fantasy, I don't know what that's considered. That might be a silver age comic. Anyway. All right, let's move on to the next thing. So the next thing, I'm looking this list on IMDb, by the way. So I hope I got all of them, but we have The Electric Company. You ever watched The Electric Company before or heard of it?
Nope.
It's a TV show for kids. It's kind of like almost like a sketch comedy type show, but it's for kids. But Spider-Man was on it, and there's like, they're called Spidey Stories. And they, just these little like Spider-Man stories with characters we've never heard of. Like there's one called I just watched a few just to kind of see what it is. And Morgan Freeman is actually in this show as well, but he didn't play Spider-Man. But there's a
character. How old does he look?
He looks like he's like 30.
He doesn't look like Morgan Freeman yet.
I mean, yeah, he does. He does look like Morgan Freeman, just a very young version of Morgan Freeman. Like when I saw him, I was like, that's Morgan Freeman, because I knew Morgan Freeman was on The Electric Company. But I saw him and I was like,
I can't imagine Morgan Freeman past the age of 60.
I know.
Or under the age of 60.
Well, it's because he didn't rise to fame until like the 90s, I think, with Driving Miss Daisy. That was kind of like the 80s. I think it was the 80s. So 20 years before that, he was on The Electric Company. And he looked like Morgan Freeman, but he didn't sound like Morgan Freeman because he was having to be like this kind of stereotypical black character, not like as bad as like the original, you know, like back in the 20s and 30s, but like he was still like talking like that and stuff. And so it was hard to like, because, you know, you hear Morgan Freeman's voice now and he's very, I don't know how to, you know, Morgan Freeman's narrator.
Articulate.
He's just very like, yeah, comforting and stuff. But this time in this, he's not. He's talking like somebody in the 60s would have spoken. And so it was just kind of weird to see him not being like, you know, that's the first time I met Andy Dufresne kind of stuff.
That style of
Morgan Freeman's.
Skippity pop.
They do like
That's what he sounded like in the Electric Company. All right. Scoobity Bop. So yeah, there were some little sketches with Spider-Man, and they were kind of cheesy. They're like his villains. One was called the Spoiler, where like this guy goes around and spoils people's day. And then there's another one called the Wall, where he's like just a straight up wall. Like he's a wall with a head on him. And he's anyway. So yeah, they were super, super corny, very low budget type stuff. It was kind of funny. And like Spider-Man didn't talk in the way he talked were through like comic bubbles, like the bubbles that you see in comic books and stuff. Kind of funny. Okay. Next we have the 1977 The Amazing Spider-Man live action TV show. I don't know if y'all have ever seen it or heard of it. But it's
I watched episodes, yeah, with Nicholas Hammond. It's Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Again, he doesn't look like a teenager.
No, he looks like he's like 40 years old. Yeah. And it's funny because like his suit actually doesn't look that bad except for the spider. It looks like an ant on it.
Yeah.
But other than that, his suit doesn't look bad.
Yeah, I'd wear it for cosplay. For sure.
Yeah, exactly. And so like I watched like a little video about all the Spider-Man, and I was watching some clips, and his webs are like ropes and stuff. It's kind of funny.
Very obvious.
Yeah. Clearly not like the web fluid he's supposed to have.
Yeah. The choreography of that show, absolutely horrible and awkward with the 70s era music intertwined, some moments of silence, but it was kind of, for the few episodes I watched, it was okay. I mean, for the first live action version of Spider-Man.
Yeah. And
Justin, does this list, I was going to ask if this list, since you're in the 70s, does this include the Japanese Spider-Man?
So I'm not there yet, but yes, it does include.
Okay.
Yeah. So one thing I was going to mention about this 60 or 70s live action thing, it's so funny watching him climb up walls because it's clear that he's like being lifted by something. Because he's like barely touching the walls as he goes up. It's really funny to watch. I'm like, you do not look like you're climbing up a wall right now. You look like you're running up a wall as you're being pulled up the wall. And it was just funny to watch. But yeah,
why didn't they go the Batman route?
That's a good question. I mean, it probably would have made it look a little more realistic, but I guess the one thing that they did do that was kind of cool for the 70s was they were able to get like these long shots of him going up the wall. As opposed to Batman, where like, you know, they're walking and then you turn the camera to the side and you can't really, I mean, I guess you could get a wide shot of it, but they got like really far back, kind of like in Homecoming, whenever, what is it? He's climbing up the, Tom Holland's climbing up that Washington Monument or whatever, the one that they're in the first one. Yeah. Like kind of like that, except
with elevator shaft.
Yeah, except for they're way farther back in Homecoming. Anyway, So yeah, Nicholas Hammond.
Okay.
And yeah, and it was. I mean, it looks kind of weird, but the shot looks really cool. Like just being that
you can
far
see
back.
The artistic design behind it.
You can see like what they were trying to go
like the
for.
Intention.
Yeah, you can tell what they're trying to go for. I mean, you can tell it's totally fake. I mean, of course it's fake. There's no seeing Spider-Man, but even now it looks a lot more real, but yeah, it just looks like it's being pulled up a wall. Okay, next is Spider-Man 1978 from Japan. This one is an interesting, like, I love it when other countries adapt things like this. So I think in India, I think it was India or Nigeria, I can't remember exactly, but they adapted like a Batman version, a version of Batman that was kind of silly looking. Yeah, because we had to find one of our assignments when I was in college was we had to find a short film, and I think it was Nigerian short film, and so that's what I found that Batman one, and that's what this reminds me of. But this is totally like Japanese type stuff where he's a motorcyclist. His name is Takuya Yamashiro, fights the evil forces of Professor Monster as the superhero Spider-Man. But he has like a Spider-Man motorcycle, but he also just like the freaking Power Rangers, has he commands like a giant robot in the show, which is hilarious to watch. But it's actually kind of
so neat. Japan.
Oh yeah, totally.
I love Japan's take on
everything. It's just, let's put him in a robot. All right, cool. And done. Let's say that the freaking Power Rangers. So yeah, that was that. I've never watched any of the Japanese Spider-Man, but
it's a little better than the fighting choreography is a little bit better than the American version, I gotta say. Just like talking about the Super Sentai show. I mean, as cheesy as the show is, the choreography is excellent. I thought when they translated over to the American version, they're using a lot of the same. And all that.
Anything with a helmet on, they're using all the same B-roll. They still do that to this day. To Power Rangers too.
Thought the music's so jarring though. Just in the 70s live action Spider-Man, it just the peaceful, smooth jazz saxophone music.
You're talking about the American one.
Yeah, just accompanying the action, that it's just very odd, but it's for the time, and a lot of the 70s shows in general, this was strange as far as the music going with the what was on the screen. I thought
okay, and yeah, so that's this. I need to watch some of that. You said you watched some of the Japanese one, Zach, or did you
on YouTube clips?
Okay, that's awesome.
I was able to see some clips on YouTube as well, and it's fun.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's awesome, actually. I would like to own it on like DVD or something if it's out there. Okay, next we have the 1981 Spider-Man. And I remember this is an animated series as well. I remember this being on too. And it's like almost like just an updated version of the 60s one. There's not much. From what I can remember now, I don't remember much because I don't know. I didn't really watch Spider-Man growing up, to be honest with you. Have y'all seen this 80s version of Spider-Man animated series?
No. I mean, I maybe I have, but
yeah, I
lose track of all the animation.
Yeah, exactly, because it doesn't look much different than the 60s one. Now, the emblem on his back is like that big round spider tick-looking thing. I think that's the only thing that's different. Everything else is relatively the same as the 60s. Then we have Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. It looks like it came out around the same time as the original that Spider-Man would. I vaguely remember this because I remember the title being like Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. And so, but this was on for 5 years, just another animated Spider-Man TV show with His Amazing Friends this time. Okay, and then we have Spider-Man, the animated series in 1994. I remember this one, too. I remember this one being pretty cool. You said you watched this one, Zach?
The one I think I have, like, the VHS on.
That's cool.
Put the episodes on that. Yeah, like a couple.
Yeah.
That's the version I think a lot of people, like, around our
age
bracket remembers. Yeah, that I've seen on TV as well. I forgot what channel it was, but...
Oh, yeah. I bet it was like Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon, maybe. I'm not really sure.
Was it in this version or maybe the other version of the animated Spider-Man where the police had weird looking guns? Like they looked fake. Like
I don't know. Weird. I have no idea.
It's like a thing they did back in the 90s to appease the kids.
That sounds like an earlier bit because, well, it depends. When did Batman, the animated series for Batman, come out?
That was 90s.
It would have been around that time.
The animated BTS. I thought police had real looking guns, just maybe a little oversized.
Yeah, I think they did.
I think it was the 90s. Whenever the Batman, the animated series came out, they had some really strict guidelines of what you could and could not show on a cartoon. And that included guns, which is why all the characters in the Batman show had all these kind of like wacky weapons and stuff because they weren't allowed to actually show traditional violence.
Now that you mention, I don't really remember guns being in.
So it would be around the same time.
Probably the same.
It would be around the same time.
I'm looking at a shotgun. I'm looking at Bruce Wayne. holding a shotgun, and it looks like the animated series.
Well, I wonder what he's doing with it.
I don't know.
Oh, man. I do remember when the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came out. They came out around 89, I think.
Yeah.
But into the 90s, their Foot Clan soldiers were robots because they didn't want them to, like, have to hurt actual or kill even actual people. So they would just, you know, beat them up and they'd blow up because they were robots.
The Foot Clan.
Yeah. So, yeah, they did have some pretty strict guidelines back then. I do remember hearing about that.
And not much punching happened in the animated Spider-Man shows that I remember. It was just a lot of the spider web action and maybe throwing objects onto people, but yeah, I didn't really recall many punches going on.
Yeah, he doesn't. I mean, yeah, in the movies he fights, but
yeah,
like in the shows, I don't really remember him doing a lot of fighting. I just a bunch of web slinging and, like you said, yeah, picking things up and throwing them.
Yeah, I wish we had more displays of Spider-Man's strength in hand-to-hand combat. That'd be cool.
Well, I think they do a pretty good job, mostly in the movies, at least. Okay, then we have Spider-Man Unlimited. This is 99 to 2005. I kind of remember this show too. Like I said, I didn't really watch a lot of, like, oddly enough, a lot of superhero shows or superhero cartoons on TV because they were on, like, weird channels that I couldn't find or didn't have access to at the time, or just didn't get to them on time as far as, like, the channels go, because I could only watch after school stuff and whatnot. So a lot of these I missed out on, unfortunately, but I'm sure that they're all great in their own way. Did you guys watch Spider-Man Unlimited, or I'm assuming no?
No, I stopped after.
You're like, I'm 90s. Done with Spider-Man. Okay. Well, next we have Spider-Man 2002 with Tobey Maguire. So let's talk about old Tobes for a second. I didn't know who Tobey Maguire was before Spider-Man came out. But I think he did he was one of those. It's a classic case of casting a guy in his mid-20s or late-20s to play a teenager, and every single teenager in that high school is, even Joe, what's his name? Joe May, dude playing Deathstroke. That's who plays Flash Thompson. Joe.
Oh, wow.
Manganiello or whatever his name is. That's the guy who plays Flash Thompson in that.
Yeah, he looked old.
Yeah, I know. He's freak. They're all old. They're all, like, teenagers. Like,
everyone's in their 30s.
They're all teenagers, but they're all, even Harry Osborn.
They just look like a bunch of college students.
I mean, they look like they need to. They have jobs behind a desk because they're all freaking old. But, you know, at the time, it was 2002, so I was probably like 14 or 15 years old, probably. And I didn't care about it. I didn't really go, oh my God, he looks old. It was, oh my God, Spider-Man. So, that was kind of my first, like first Spider-Man thing that I watched and loved was Tobey Maguire 2002. And I think, out of all the Spider-Man that's come out, like movies and stuff, I have to say Tobey Maguire is, and I'm pretty sure we've talked about this on the podcast, but he's probably my favorite Spider-Man. And I think part of that is just because it's like the movie The Mask with me. It's like, yeah, it's a funny movie, and to me, it's a great movie, but there's also, like, story behind it that's why it's my favorite movie of all time. And so, like, Spider-Man, it was just like my first, you know, got to see Spider-Man on screen, and it was the first one. So that's why I think I just have, like, a special place in my heart for Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man.
Yeah. I think for me, the opening sequence of the credits and accompanied by the wonderful animations, the montage, and Danny Elfman's score, who's known for 1989 or just the Burton Batman movies. That whole sequence really drew people in, and the complex look of the web and the comic book strip, and then it goes into the first shot, which I think is something to do with, is it Peter Parker doing something. I mean, he's running for trying to catch up to the bus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it's just that beginning scene just sets the stage for what kind of person Peter Parker is and how he is respected and or not respected in this universe.
I think the first scene in that movie was him. He's like trying to get the courage to go up to Mary Jane, and then as soon as he does, like this car pulls up and picks her up, and then as soon as they drive off, the bus just like whizzes right past him. Like you know this kid, you know him. Why wouldn't you just stop the bus? And then when he tries to like chase after the bus, they just keep going. Oh no, she does get on the bus, doesn't she? Because she's telling him. That's right. She tells him to stop.
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot about that.
She's the only one who's nice to poor Peter Parker.
Poor old Peter Parker. Oh, Peeps. Peter.
It's very campy, which is one of the reasons I like it so much. I agree. Toby is probably my favorite Spider-Man. Sam Raimi's is probably my favorite Spider-Man series because it just has so much character. Like, they really lean into almost horror tropes. As Sam Raimi's, like, it's so super campy. Like, they do super, like, crash zooms to people's faces when they scream and, like, all these, like, just the way that it's set up, it almost feels like he's just having fun with it.
Absolutely. It's a good campy.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good campy. It's a great campy. And I feel like the ones today, while good, very polished, incredible storytelling, don't have the same feel and character as Raimi's, because it might be nostalgia, but I think also it's just Sam Raimi is a master, and I really think he was just having fun with these movies. Like, this was just a playground for him, and it really comes through.
Yeah, totally.
I think the music really helps with that. The modern movies are great. And yes, I'm sure you, Justin, you love the modern soundtrack. But I mean, coming out of the Raimi Spider-Man trilogy and Danny Elfman, Elfman is known for using those different motifs in different ways and in different scenes, and they're heard differently with the instruments, but I think that really enhances the movie. That the age of classic symphonic score is something I really miss as being the emphasis in movie making in general, but I know in these days it's kind of viewed kind of like the movie trailer narrator in some ways kind of archaic and old school, but it just it depends on whether it fits with the movie or not. I think for a lot of people, seeing Spider-Man just swinging from building to building was technologically like unlike anything people have seen before.
Yeah.
And even though there was one scene, I forgot what it is. It's, I think, when Mary Jane's on like Spider-Man, and you could tell it's a dummy in one particular shot. But other than that, I think the swinging sequences are amazing.
Oh yeah,
no pun intended.
Nice. Oh yeah, I was gonna say about the score. Like, I think Danny Elfman's score versus the other two, whoever did them. I don't know. His score is like very like smooth, almost. It's just like with the Amazing Spider-Man. It's like bum ba 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 ba, and then with Tom Holland's, like, I don't remember even what it is right now. I was singing it earlier, but I forgot. With Danny Elfman's, I don't know. It's just something about his. It's just like, how do I say this?
It takes you through a journey.
And yeah.
You feel different as the journey moves along.
It's just very smooth. There's no like big breaks.
There's mystery.
In the actual,
it's really romanticized. It's very romantic in a way.
I would agree. Yeah. That's a good word.
And the Raimi trilogy overall, I feel like it has this heart that I think Andrew Garfield's series had heart. But I think even the modern ones have aspects of heart, but I feel like the Raimi trilogy really is encapsulated this awkward portrayal of Peter Parker, and Tobey Maguire really sells his version of this guy that's kind of a hopeless romantic and trying to win over Mary Jane.
Yeah.
And as we get into the sequels, kind of delve into that. But I really feel for his version, whereas Garfield and Holland, they come across as these like cooler dudes.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I personally relate more to McGuire's version.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, I think that the love, like the whole love story in all three of those movies, is kind of what holds it all together. It is literally the heart of the movie, like that makes it what it is. Like you said, it's a very romantic kind of superhero movie. Interesting.
Yeah, you gotta love. I forgot the guy who plays Uncle Ben, but he was great for his short period of acting.
Yeah, he was probably one of the better Uncle Bens too that I've seen on screen.
Didn't really care much for the aunt though.
The Sam Raimi series just feels so real, and
I think of how
to say this correctly. It pays homage to the character of Spider-Man better than Tom Holland's and Garfield's.
Yeah.
Because Tobey Maguire Spider-Man deals with real problems. Like, it very much goes into that slice of life of a nerdy high schooler where not only he's dealing with superpowers, but he's also getting bullied at school, and he has a crush, and he's trying to hold down a job, and it deals with the everyday problems in his life, which is very much a huge part of the character's makeup in the comic books. Whereas Garfield's and Holland's kind of go the other route of leaning more into the action and adventure quality of it, and they feel much larger than life. Whereas Raimi's feel, in a sense, very intimate to the characters within them, because they're still going about their lives, and it's really about how the effect of being Spider-Man has on that friend group and that you know, cluster, as opposed to the character discovering his powers. Like, that's part of it. But absolutely. Garfield's in Tollin and Hollins.
I like Hollins. That.
I like Tollin.
Garfield and Hollins are all about being the superhero.
Being Spider-Man.
Whereas Raimi is being the human.
The more human emphasis. I absolutely agree with that. And I prefer the more human.
I do too.
Humanized, like, version.
Now that we've talked about it, you know, it's very nostalgic, and it's just there's a different vibe with Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man that it just hits harder for me. Like, I love both the other ones, but I don't know. There's always a special place in my heart for the original Spider-Man movies. Okay, well, let's move on.
I want to mention really quick.
Yeah.
I think it was before the movie came out, there was a scene that seemed like it was shot by a totally different cinematographer than who shot Spider-Man, the actual movie. But they had a scene where there's like a heist going on at a bank, I believe, in New York. And eventually it shows the Twin Towers. And there's a helicopter in the web. Or there's a helicopter in the web. Remember that?
Yeah, that sounds vaguely familiar.
And then it was the Twin Towers, and the side of them were removed in the actual movie. Even though there's one particular shot where you can see the Twin Towers in the reflection of Spider-Man's lenses. But obviously, because of the sensitivity of the 9/11 attacks, that Americans were still mourning over what happened, said it being sensitive and all that, so they took those references out. But
not to be callous, but you know, it was a field day in the studio, right? Because New York, Twin Towers obviously were going to be a centerpiece of that film. You know what you know it was,
like, iconic. Yeah,
they're iconic. It's reflected in his freaking eyeglasses, so you know for a fact that those towers are going to be all throughout that film. And so I can just imagine some poor intern, like, in the production studio running in, like, a week later, she's like, the towers, the towers, what are we going to do? And, like, the studio having to scramble to remove it all.
Yeah.
Makes me wonder if it's probably a studio decision versus creative.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. It's a studio position.
Probably. I'm sure they were like, you got to take the towers out. And Sam Raimi was probably like, okay. But, you know, it was, I'm sure there was no pushback. Or
some, yeah, some graphics artist was like, fuck.
Now I have to do this. So, yeah. Anyway, let's move on. All right, next we have Spider-Man, which is another animated series from 2003. I mean, all these animated series, they kind of run together. There's really not much different about them, just that they're newer, I guess, 2003. And then we have Spider-Man 2 in 2004 with Alfred Molina as Doc Ock and all that stuff. That's held as like the best Spider-Man, not Spider-Man movie, but Spider-Man Raimi trilogy for sure. And I would agree. Like, there's really some really cool fight scenes in there. Like, the train scene and all that stuff. And I think my favorite part in that whole movie is when he stops the train and then they just kind of all like pick him up and slowly bring him to the middle of the train. And then he's got his mask off and they're like,
and his motif is playing in a choral fashion.
Yeah. Okay. And then they're like, here's your mask. And they're like, we're not going to tell anybody or whatever. Yeah. Know? Like, I really
rolled my eyes a little bit.
I thought
someone's going to snitch.
Someone has to, you know, there was a lot of, well, not only that, but there's a lot of people on that train. It's like, there's no way that, you know, one man didn't go home to his wife and was like, I saw Spider-Man.
Hey, yo, babe, you never guess what I saw on the train today. Like, fucking Spider-Man. This little kid, he's like 18 years old.
You could argue he knew it was a big city.
He's a fucking teenager.
And not only that, but I saw his face. So, I mean, I guess you could say I saw his face, but then just that's it. Like,
there's millions of people in New York.
So. Exactly. And even if you saw him, I mean, the chances of you seeing him are pretty slim. And then if he did, he'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. So yeah, what are your thoughts on this Spider-Man movie?
Well, you guys spoke to your favorite scenes of that movie. My favorite scene was when Doc Ock slaughtered everyone in his sleep.
Oh yeah, that was a horror.
That was great. Scene. And that was specifically when I mentioned Sam Raimi's homage to horror. I know I was talking about the first one, but I was thinking of the second one. It's just so good and campy. They used wax. I hit the mic. when the woman gets dragged off, they did that with wax. They put wax on her fingernails. And so she was able to get that nice trail. And then they add a sound in the edit to make it sound like it was scraping her nails off.
Yeah. I like
there was no music. There was no music during that scene, which was even more powerful.
Yeah.
I thought
I like the tentacles in that movie because I watched a little behind the scenes thing and like there were four different people, you know, controlling those tentacles, and so you can kind of tell, like, you know, they were talking about how like you can kind of tell that, you know, a woman is controlling this one because her moves are a little more graceful and stuff like that, and a man's controlling this one because he's kind of like, you know, quick when he moves the head, the tentacle around us. And it was just kind of interesting to watch their the different people like controlling the tentacles. Could you imagine like four different people just sitting there with little controllers controlling these tentacles? Man, that would be the best job in the world, I think. Like, what did you
do
today?
They have them on poles. I thought they had them actually like on actual like puppeteering shafts.
They might have, actually, but I know that I think the little things though were controlled.
Yeah, the little claws.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm talking about the main little pinchers were controlled by people, and I don't know, just the idea of being like, yeah, I gotta go to work today. I gotta control these robotic tentacles. Yeah, each of them had
these little clampers. Click three times for a scene.
Yeah, they each kind of gave him their own personality, which that would have been like my direction. I'd be like, I want you guys to show your personalities with these things because it would be really cool. Because even in like the new Spider No Way Home, whenever he puts the new chip on him and he goes, the voices are gone or I'm alone or whatever, like he I'm almost positive, you know, every Because every tentacle had their own voice in his head, right? Isn't that what? I don't know if it was ever like determined.
Yeah, I don't think it was ever explicitly stated, but yeah, I think that's the assumption.
Yeah, the idea is that he's got four different voices, not including his own, in his head, where they're all telling him to do separate things, and just gives the idea that gives more power to that whole thing, where it's like give them their own personality. It's like, well, what if they could make them talk? I wonder what they would say. You know what I mean? Like out loud where we could hear it. It'd be kind of cool. Okay. Next up is 2007 Spider-Man 3 with the black suit Spider-Man. I remember seeing this movie in theaters 3 times.
Really?
Yeah. I loved it back then. I mean, now I still love it, but I do see kind of the like, even when watching it, there were those scenes that I was like, that were like super cringe, like with the dancing and the singing with the jazz, had the jazz, whatever, with Mary Jane. Like, it was just very like.
That's the best part.
I thought that was Raimi doing what he could with what he was told by the studios, because behind the scenes, he did not want to use.
He didn't want Venom.
Venom.
Yeah, he didn't want Venom. I think he just wanted Sandman, if I'm not mistaken. He just wanted Sandman. But they were like, no, we need to put Venom in there. And then, of course, Venom, you know, was kind of shoved in there. And I thought at the time Venom was really cool. But I was, you know, as an adult, I'm like, he's still kind of neat because, you know, he's played by Topher Grace, who I like as an actor. I don't think he embodies Eddie Brock Jr. Is that what he is? Or Eddie Brock. He doesn't embody that because Eddie Brock is like big. Like, even in the comics, Eddie's always been big.
I kind of liked, though, that they kind of equate, like, they mirrored Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man with an equally, like, unassuming, nerdy, like, unusual character for Venom. Like, I know Topher gets a lot of crap for being that. He's not, like, quote-unquote, the correct Eddie Brock, like you're saying, but I kind of liked like Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, this unassuming character who was thrust into greatness, and he kind of was mirrored with Topher Grace. Had his character made different choices, he could have become Spider-Man or an equivalent of, but it was kind of the mirror of what if Spider-Man had gone down the dark path. Same type of character, same job, even, you know, same crushes, same job, same everything. It's essentially mirror of Toby's Spidey. So yeah. I liked that.
I guess that
it wasn't the correct Brock, but it fit Raimi's vision.
Definitely a Brock, not like Tom Hardy, you know, huge guy playing Venom, which, I would have enjoyed, I think, for them to have Venom talk as Venom in that movie. But, you know, what are you going to do? He was kind of thrown in there. So
what are your thoughts on Harry Osborn's role in that movie? Is he eventually okay, Peter.
She needs us.
Help you out. Yeah. I liked his redemption.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, of course, you know, he knows who Spider-Man is and he's pissed at the beginning and then he, you know, hits his head or whatever. And I thought that was crazy when he hit his head because it kind of scared me, to be honest with you. But then, you know, he forgets everything until he remembers. And I don't know. I just, like, James Franco is an okay Harry Osborn, but I don't know. It just seems like, I guess you'd have to look at it in a different perspective. Because Harry Osborn, I don't care for Harry Osborn in that movie. Matter of fact, I don't care for Harry Osborn, period. I guess. They could have done without Harry. But they had him, and then he was a Green Goblin at the end. Helped everybody out, saved the day. So I don't know. He was okay. I guess that's where I was going with that, Zach.
I think that's the weak part. I think we're getting to the weak parts of that film. Like we've talked about before, Raimi originally just wanted Sandman. And I think both Harry and Venom were shoehorned in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think if they would, I mean, like, I would like to see the version that was just, you know, Peter Parker and Sandman done, you know, without Venom and Goblin Jr. out there having to add, you know, they're like, well, we have to add Venom, so who else are we going to put in there? Well, let's, I guess, Harry Osborn can be Green Goblin. They can help each other out at the end.
Doesn't Peter say, little Goblin Jr., you're going to cry?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I got that from.
I loved how Bully McGuire, as the meme has been.
Yeah, I've heard
Bully. I love
put some dirt in your eye.
I love him, to be honest. How campy it is. It's great.
Like, you can appreciate it if you go into it going, I know what this is, and I know it's freaking weird. Let's have some fun. But if you go into it, like the first time I saw Spider-Man, I was like ready for this action-packed superhero movie, and then he's doing the dancey thing in the middle of the street. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Like, let's just get past this part. You know, now I can kind of appreciate it a little more. But
again, though, I feel like that makes sense because – listen, his character doesn't know how to be cool.
Right.
Look at it from his character.
Even when he's cool.
Even when he's cool, he doesn't know. He's being he's being persuaded or kind of like pushed to act this way by the symbiote, but he doesn't know how to do it. So he's doing his best version of it, which is awful.
Awkward.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you guys, or is that just
no? Awkward? It makes sense. It's like She's. Have y'all seen She's All That? With Freddie Prinze Jr. And they have to take one of the girls in school, and they make a bet to make her prom queen. And like, she's like, the way she looks, all she has to do is take her glasses off and put her hair down, and she's pretty. That's kind of what Peter Parker did. Was like, he had it out combed over, and then he's like, I'm a bad boy, and then just
I'm gonna
like
emo it up.
Yeah, just all he did was just like push it down a little bit, and it's like
he just made it greasy.
He just that's it. That was emo Peter. All it was emo Peter. Move your hair down a little bit. So yeah, I don't know. I really want to rewatch these movies now that we're talking about them. I need to watch them in my theater room.
I have the box set on DVD.
Yeah, I have a box set on Blu-ray.
Oh, which movie is it where it's like the 2.0? Is
2.5,
it,
I think is what is it's
it
called.
Is it number 2 or 3 for Spider? Is it Spider-Man 2?
2.1, actually?
2.1.
What's the difference? I forgot. Is it just additional scenes?
Yeah, just extended. I don't remember what's extended. It's been a minute since I've watched that version, but it's just extended stuff. And just extended cut. Basically,
what you guys think about in general with the Raimi trilogy, Kirsten Dunst as Mary Jane? I felt like she kind of just played the typical damsel in distress. I don't think she had much evolution in her character. She didn't become stronger or anything.
I mean,
she was just kind of just there for Peter to save.
Yeah, well, that and for Peter to love, because, you know, they were and back and forth. Mm-hmm. As far as their relationship goes, and I think that was, like you said earlier, was part of the movie, was just that whole dynamic between Mary Jane and Peter. But yeah, she did get captured a lot. Like, I think in all three movies she got captured.
I kind of felt for Peter when he tries to make it to her horrible play performance, or it was rated bad by the papers or whatever, and he's like, I know her or something. He's like in the audience and all that.
You're talking about on the third one? Yeah. The
beginning. Yeah.
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 Well, he actually does make it.
And then he eventually learns that Harry Osborn is with her. And it was just.
Oh, yeah.
I felt bad for the guy.
You're talking about, yeah. It's a roller coaster of emotions for Peter. And then she's like, I've fallen in love with someone else.
But remember when he's trying to do poetry, like recite poetry in front of her? That's hilarious. He was trying so hard.
Are you talking about Spider-Man 3 or Spider-Man 2?
2 or 3. I'm just talking in general.
The
roller coaster of a relationship.
Yeah.
They had.
Spider-Man 3 was kind of like, I remember at the beginning whenever she was complaining because her play was bad. And I think she had just gotten fired or something. And he's like trying to like give her a pep talk, but it's always all about Spider-Man. You know, he's like, hey, you know, as Spider-Man, I have to deal with this too, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, dude, shut up. And he's wanting to ask her to marry him, all this stuff. And she's like, this isn't in your budget. but anyway, and he's just like, oh, you know, Spider-Man, I have to deal with this stuff too.
That would be annoying for him to keep bringing that up.
He doesn't understand that she's like really upset and she doesn't want to hear about him and Spider-Man. And that's the day that I think he kissed Gwen Stacy on screen. Yeah. She's like, that was our kiss, which it was. That was the upside down kiss. So anyway, we can move on a little bit. We'll go back to it. We'll come back to Toby.
Talk about Toby making out more?
No.
All the kissing scenes with Toby?
I don't think so.
You don't talk? No? Okay.
No.
Remember Gwen Stacy's minute cameo?
I'm just here to make you uncomfortable.
Bryce Dallas Howard. I'm never uncomfortable.
She played like the typical screaming gal. It was hilarious.
Well, I didn't know who Gwen Stacy was when I watched her. And so I was like, who the hell is
me
this
neither.
Chick? Yeah. You know, now I know who she is. You know, she's Peter's first girlfriend and first love. And like, I don't know if you guys know the story in the comics with Gwen Stacy, but she dies.
Spoiler alert.
But in the comics,
she dies in Garfield's as well.
Yeah, but she in the comics she dies differently. What happens is Green Goblin throws her off a bridge, and Spider-Man tries to catch her, but instead of catching her, he like kind of does what the same thing in Amazing Spider-Man 2. But in the movie, she hits her head. In the comics, she breaks her back and dies.
Oof.
But on top of that, she's pregnant with. What's his name? Norman Osborn's kid.
F the chat, boys.
Norman.
Norman Osborn.
Shoot.
Not even Harry Osborn.
He's
pregnant with Norman Osborn's kids. He had sex with her.
Was it consensual?
I mean, I assume so. I don't know.
Was he working for her? Right?
She working for him?
You mean, was she working for
him? He working for him, yeah.
He working for him? She working for him? I don't know. That's all. I only know like the big part of the story.
I have to look into that.
I haven't read it, but I've heard this story. And on like comic book men, they talk about this story. And so that's
That's gross, but that's not as bad as that comic series where he gives Mary Jane cancer from his spider juices.
Ooh. Gross. Who? Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Oh,
there's a comic series where he and Mary Jane marries and they do the little, you know, dance in the web, and he gives her cancer because he has irradiated
radiated semen, huh?
There's got to be so much controversy surrounding that.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
I gotta look into that. All right. So I'm going to kind of blow through the cartoons because there's more cartoons. There's a Spectacular Spider-Man and the Ultimate Spider-Man. Spectacular was 2008 to 2009. And then Ultimate was 2012 to 2017. I do remember Ultimate because it has a specific art style. And I want to say one of these, I think it might have been Ultimate, was Peter Parker was voiced by Drake Bell. I do remember that. It was the Ultimate Spider-Man. He's voiced by Drake Bell. If you know who Drake Bell is, Josh and Drake. Drake and Josh,
yeah.
Yeah.
The singer.
Yeah. And then we have, going to 2012, we have The Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield. So what did y'all think about Andrew, old Andrew? I thought he was cool. Like, and I think that was part of the issue was he was cool. He was a little too cool.
Yeah. Garfield makes a good Spidey, not so much a good...
Peter Parker.
Peter.
Yeah.
I'd say he's probably the best, I'd argue, Spider-Man. So as far as the quips. And
oh, yeah.
He's funny.
Yeah, he is a lot funnier than...
And I like the suit, too.
Because Tom Holland, he doesn't really make a lot of jokes while he's fighting Tom Holland.
He does, but they're really mild. They're not
They're not
creative.
They're not as quippy and as stuff as the other ones are. Okay, so I liked this movie. I didn't care for his suit, but I understand that it was kind of a, you know,
homemade.
A stepping stone to something better. It's very homemade. He uses like sunglasses for his eyes. And it looks like the suit looks like it was made out of a basketball. You know, like whatever material they use at a basketball, that's what that looks like.
Probably was.
And I think we've talked about this before, but
we actually get to see him like more in depth, like developing the suit and his webs. Yeah. I mean, obviously because he's the traditional Spider-Man.
Yeah, because in the Tobey Maguire, you know, of course his webs are organic.
Organic. I like organic. If I were Spider-Man, I want organic versus
having to make a web fluid all the freaking time.
Yeah, less effort.
Mm-hmm. just comes out of them.
You've spun your last web.
What happens if you get excited,
Spider-Man?
Though?
What?
I was like, what happens if you get excited?
Nothing.
Sexually excited, I think.
Are you sure? Are you
sure
nothing happens if he gets excited?
No, I'm not sure, but I like to think nothing happens unless he makes it happen.
Oh, I webbed.
Well, I was watching Family Guy, and there's a cutaway of Spider-Man, and he had just had sex with somebody, and she was like, instead of like, she was covered. She just had a web covered in a web. And then he's like, I'm so sorry. It's just been so long and you're so pretty. And she's like, I'm going to go home. And she just like pulls the web off of her and leaves. Like that was him like, whatever. And it was just so stupid. And he's like naked, but he's only wearing underwear and his mask. It's really funny. Anyway. Okay. So yeah, Amazing Spider-Man. I liked that one because I liked the Lizard, because I believe the Lizard was the first villain that, Amazing Spider-Man, but Spider-Man number one, I think, was issue one was the first. Lizard was the first villain, if I'm not mistaken. Really? I might be mistaken. If it's not, then it's a very early villain.
Dr. Connor.
Yeah, Dr. Connors. Dr. Connors. Which he was in. Yeah, he was in the original Spider-Man. Yep. He just didn't get to be the Lizard.
Sadly.
Yeah, I know. I would have liked to have seen that, actually. That would have been pretty cool.
If we had gotten a fourth, he might have.
Yeah.
I think the fourth was lined up to either be the Lizard or Mysterio with Bruce Campbell. Because Campbell has cameos in the first three movies.
Yeah, and anything Sam Raimi does, Bruce Campbell.
And Raimi had intended for him to be Mysterio with all of Bruce Campbell's characters from the first three movies the same character spying on Spider-Man.
That's smart. Okay. That's cool. I kind of wish we would have gotten a fourth. I mean, there's been talks about a fourth coming around now that they've brought him back, but
yeah, I don't think they would allow, or Disney would allow that. They'd be like conceding to, yeah, we know people love the Raimi stuff a little bit more than our stuff at times. I don't think they want to fall into that. Maybe. Yeah. Who knows?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Well, they've talked about him, Tobey Maguire, or Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker being a lead in the Secret Wars, like leading the team or whatever. I'm like, okay, well, I'll believe it when I see it, you know? Him and Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. I was like, what the hell? anyway. Okay. And then we have The Amazing Spider-Man 2, which came out with the better looking suit for sure.
Electro is cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was. The rhinoceros at the end.
I do kind of wish we would have seen more of him, but I do like that he brings it up in No Way Home. He's like, I fought a guy in a giant rhinoceros suit.
Were there issues going into the Amazing Spider-Man 2? Like they knew at some point there wasn't going to be a third, so that's why it was just all over the place.
No, I don't think
so. No, they were trying to set up Sinister Six.
Yeah, they were trying to set up Sinister Six. That's why you see all those machines and then the Rhino, of course, at the end, because you see Vulture's wings and like Doc Ock's stuff, and then the Rhino and all that stuff. Like they wanted to set up a Sinister Six movie.
Was Goblin ever?
Yeah, he was. Well, I mean, he was in the movie. But he was, I think at the end, was he in the end of the movie? I think he was, if I'm not mistaken. man, I got to watch these movies again. I keep using the term, the phrase, if I'm not mistaken. I think he was in the end of the movie and he had said something about whatever, kind of teasing towards a Sinister Six thing. And then they, then they stopped it and were like, okay, well.
So what was the issue? I don't know what the issue was behind the scenes or studio.
I thought the reason at first was Andrew Garfield just couldn't get his crap together, and like he was supposed to go to a Sony event and he didn't show up, so they were like, all right, he's fired. But then I heard that it's just because Amazing Spider-Man 2 didn't do as well as they'd hoped, so they just kind of stopped it. Yeah.
I liked Emma Stone
as Gwen Stacy.
Gwen, I think their relationship was.
You
could feel the chemistry.
I was gonna say I like their chemistry a little better than Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst for sure. Mm-hmm. I like the whole overarching story of those two, but like the chemistry between those two, Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone, which they dated for a while. I don't know if they're still dating or not, but
it was less awkward. I felt like their interaction was more real.
Yeah, I would.
It
agree.
Definitely was.
Yeah, I would agree. Like it was totally more
dialogue script.
Yeah. And I mean Emma Stone. She's just hot.
I mean, and Garfield made her a chair. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Behind the scenes, right?
Garfield. So they met on Spider-Man. They dated. They're not long together. But while they were together for their time, when Garfield worked on that movie, that Monk movie. God, what is it called?
Monk movie.
He plays a monk with Adam Driver, and they get captured and tortured, and they try to get Garfield to renounce his faith in Christ. Huh. And
interesting
to get into that part of the character, because he's kind of a method actor. He took carving lessons and he handcrafted a rocking chair using, you know, feudal authentic techniques, and he gave that to Emma Stone.
Hmm.
I wonder if she still has it.
She does. She's mentioned in an interview that it's the most favorite gift she's been given.
Oh, that's cool.
It is neat. Okay. I do like the suit better in this one. And then, yeah, Andrew Garfield's just like compared to Tobey Maguire, he's younger, he's a little better looking, he's just a lot cooler. Like, he even skateboards. Like, I don't know what it is, but I don't see Peter Parker, the character, skateboarding. But I don't know. I mean, he could possibly learn, but I just thought, yeah, he was kind of too cool for school.
He's not as clumsy as Toby's Peter.
Now, in No Way Home, he's a little more nerdy and a little more goofy, right? But in these two installments, he's just kind of like, you know, I'm kind of cool, but I'm not cool, but I'm going to act like I'm not cool, but I'm really cool. You know,
he's like the cool outcast.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. Yeah. That would sum it up pretty well. All right. Let's move on. We're getting kind of long here.
Holland.
So Tom Holland is next. We have Homecoming. I'm just going to kind of lump them all together. Homecoming, Far From Home, and No Way Home. And then, of course, Civil War, which is the original movie he was introduced in. Of course, we all knew it because they showed him in the freaking previews. But I think that was, you know, they always show something huge like that, Marvel does, and then they have something great that we're just waiting on. You know,
they need to save surprises like that.
I think they should just not, like, lately it's been like, you know, we're going to, this person's going to play this role in this movie. And it's like all over Facebook. And you're like, oh my God, like, please stop telling us everything that's going on. Like, I'd rather be surprised. Like, or they'll say like, there's going to be a certain scene in a movie where this person does this. And you're like, please stop spoiling. Like, you're spoiling so much. I don't remember why I was talking about that, but, why did I say that? Why were we talking? What were we just talking about?
The trailer of Civil War showed Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. He showed Spider-Man. Oh, yeah. And I think that.
It's like, hey, everyone.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. And then I think that was possibly to hide Giant Man, which, like, when Giant Man showed up, I freaked out talking about Ant-Man becoming a giant, like Giant Man is his name, by the way. So yeah, when he went from Ant-Man to Giant Man, I nearly pissed my pants. It was so freaking cool. Like I enjoyed that way more than seeing freaking Spider-Man. Although I did like Tom Holland Spider-Man in that movie. Like, he was great. But man, he became Giant Man. I that was awesome. Okay, so what do y'all think of Tom Holland?
Lovable bloke. Great guy. Thin lips.
All right.
Okay. You asked me my thoughts.
How about his portrayal of Peter Parker?
Yeah, Jesus.
Oh. Well, if we're going to talk Spider-Man. About that. I think it was great. I think he's pretty good. He's kind of mellow, in my opinion. He kind of has that boyish charm to the character. Like, his quips aren't really on par. He's kind of got this doughy eye looked about him with everything he's been through. At this point, he's been in outer space, fought wizards, monsters, everything, and he still seems to be genuinely surprised by everything that is going on around him. Yeah. And at some point, the reality has to kick in for him as a character, and
I feel like
be surprised at this stuff anymore.
I feel like with it, you know, they're supposed to make another trilogy with him, and I feel like this trilogy, if they do it, I think he'll be a little more grown up because he's been through a lot of crap. And like, not only that, but everybody's forgotten about him. You know, they don't know who Peter Parker is. Period. That's sad.
And so, yeah, they have the opportunity to make a more traditional Spider-Man now.
Yeah, they can start from scratch. You know,
and with this last one, with his aunt being with great power.
Yeah,
I mean, in a way, they've really dragged out that becoming story, but that I think technically that is the catalyst for all the future stuff he may be in.
Or his maturity. Absolutely.
Yeah, for his maturity. So yeah, you're right. Maybe it will be different.
You know, side note, the way she says it in that movie, with great power, there must also come great responsibility. Whereas Uncle Ben and any Uncle Ben has said, with great power comes great responsibility. In the comics, it is, with great power, there must also come great responsibility. Isn't that crazy? Mm. When she said that in the movie, I'm like, why did she say it like that? But then I read about it and I was like, oh, that's how it's said in the comics.
Did you guys expect Aunt May to die in the movie?
No.
Yeah, kind of.
Not really. When she got hit, I was like, oh God, she's
what happened to her? She just like shrapnel wounds or something?
No, she got hit by the glider.
Oh.
Yeah, she freaking got impaled.
I don't remember seeing it.
Dude, it comes in the room and
it was the Green Goblin special. It was the Godspeed, Spider-Man.
Yeah, Jesus.
Oh, it was that type of shot. Okay.
Yeah, he hits her and she gets launched. So she gets hit pretty hard and then she stands up or whatever and then she falls back down.
Tom Holland, I gotta say, well, I'm not the biggest fan of his Peter Parker or Spider-Man. I think it's a good balance. I give him maybe 7.5 out of 10 for my enjoyment of him. He has, when there's moments of where it requires great emotion, like in the first one, when he's under the rubble and struggling.
Oh yeah, I love that scene. That is a freaking great scene, and he does it really freaking well.
He's like a helpless kid at this moment.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Because he doesn't have his super suit. He has that crappy hoodie thing he made. And he's like trying to lift like heavy ass rubble off of himself.
Yeah. I mean, he's strong, but I guess he wasn't strong enough at that time.
Well,
and then the scene with Aunt May, obviously, is he's and somewhat in denial at the moment that, you know, everything's going to be okay type of thing. And he gets the little message, last words from Aunt May. I think that was wonderful, just the way he acted. Yeah.
Well,
in that moment,
after
he realized his destination, his well, maybe his realization came after Tobey Maguire stepped in to prevent him from becoming a monster and killing
Green Goblin.
So I think that was also a great emotional scene where it didn't require too much in a dialogue from Tom Holland, but just his actions, his facial expressions were excellent.
No, he can be dramatic when he needs to be, I think.
Absolutely. He's a great actor.
Yeah, he is a really, really good actor. Okay, so let's do the last one. I know it's getting kind of late, so we'll try to hurry this up. But we have Miles Morales from it across into and across the Spider-Verse and eventually beyond the Spider-Verse. So what do y'all think about him?
I hate
he's a cool, spunky dude.
Oh, he does talk at the same time. All right, Jake, what do you think about him?
Calling us, teacher. Point on us.
I said Jake.
He did. He said Jake.
And you jumped in at the same time he did. Again, that was funny. That was good. All right, Jake.
I'm really disappointed. I'm waiting for Zach to interrupt me. I'm really disappointed that this is the last one that we're talking about because those are so good. And
I know, but I was really just trying to go in order from. Yeah, I was trying to go in order of years. Of
our yeah. I love the character of Miles Morales and just those movies in general. I've seen both of them in theaters. I don't get to the theaters that often, so seeing them in theaters was amazing. And the man, just the artistic vision behind both of those films, the way that they put everything together, they really brought to life the comic book feel to the cinema.
Oh yeah.
Did a really great job of presenting the Spider-Man story through the Miles Morales character. Like he is Spider-Man. He's got his own problems, but it's still, he fits that mold very well. It fits. And they do a wonderful job with it.
I know Miles Morales more from the video games, but I think a live action version I want to see. I think that this visual spectacle of the animated films is what caught people's attention a lot. And I agree. And I do like the own issues with family that Miles is dealing with. But I think people might get disappointed once they see a live action version expecting the same tone from the animated version. So I'm kind of excited to see what they do whenever they do decide to experiment with Miles Morales. I'd like to see another Spider-Man movie in either Andrew Garfield or Tobey Maguire's universe and have Miles be in that universe. But no. I don't know if they would go with that. But I prefer to see him in a different universe. Whereas I think Tom Holland, he's still young, and usually it feels like in the comics, or in the video games, Peter Parker is a little bit older than Miles, and he should be the mentor. For Miles, and they shouldn't be equals.
Yeah, I agree. The video games, I just started playing Miles Morales actually, and he said, like, Peter Parker says, I've been doing this for 8 years. And, Miles Morales is still in high school, I think, at this point. So Peter Parker's what, like 24 at this point, 24, 25? And so, I agree. Like, he should be in Andrew Garfield's universe or even Tobey Maguire's universe if they're going to bring him out. Because it'd be kind of weird to see them almost the same age,
it would.
But it would also be interesting if he was in Tom Holland's, because of what we just talked about, where like he's kind of grown up. He's kind of being forced to grow up now. So it could work if they go that route. I'm okay if they don't. Like, I like the idea of it all being Miles Morales being completely animated. Like, I'm cool with that.
Well, they're going to make a live action.
Yeah.
In which universe?
They've already confirmed that they will.
Eventually. What'd you say?
Eventually, sure.
Wonder what universe would be most appropriate though at this.
I like the idea of him being in Andrew Garfield's universe.
Garfield?
Yeah.
Not Toby's?
Toby's just too old, right? Like even in No Way Home, he was significantly an older Peter Parker than the others were.
I guess.
I mean, but it would work a little better. It could work. It'd be kind of like Peter B. Parker, where he's like 40 or whatever. Yeah. It could work. It just, I kind of like the idea of, especially like in the scene where Andrew Garfield's Peter Parker goes to Electro and they're talking, he goes, oh man, you're just a kid. I could have swore, you know, wherever you grew up and your voice and everything, I swore you were black. And he's like, oh man, I love that. When he's like, oh man, I'm sorry.
Sorry to disappoint.
It's like, it's not his fault. Anyway, he's like, but there's gotta be a black Spider-Man out there somewhere. And that kind of makes me like, kind of be like, oh man, I'm kind of rooting for this black Spider-Man, this Miles Morales, to be in that universe where,
do you know Electro, what a, I apologize.
It's okay.
But I thought you were wrapping up. Do you know a fun fact about Miles Morales as a character?
What?
The character of Miles Morales was inspired by Donald Glover and his Spider-Man pajamas in Community.
I think I knew that. I heard read something about that. Because he does have some Spider-Man pajamas. They're really funny.
He has Spider-Man pajamas, and the author of Miles Morales comic books, Brian Michael Bendis, took notice because also at the same time, Twitter was trying to get Donald Glover to be cast as Spider-Man for future future events. And so the author took notice and he was like, why can't there be a black Spider-Man? And so
Miles Morales was born.
That's the genesis of Miles Morales. So I love that they had Donald Glover in Across the Spider-Verse as a little cameo, because he was really the one that started the whole thing.
That was so to begin with. Funny when I saw that.
Because, who is he, the uncle of Miles?
He's the Prowler.
The Prowler.
But, yeah. he's in Homecoming. And so as Aaron Davis...
He's on the phone with Miles.
Well, he even says, I got a nephew around here. So now that you mentioned that, now we know there's a Miles Morales in.
There is. They're 100% confirmed in Hollins.
So I guess it's probably going to be in Hollins, Zach. Sorry, bro.
Well, they could maybe take a passage of time in the next trilogy. It could be like 5-6 years down the road, and he's a lot more mature. I mean,
and I'm probably a little bit older. Yeah.
Holland just doesn't look like he ages
ever.
He looks like a boy.
All right, well, I think that's pretty much all of them, besides like Spidey and His Amazing Friends, which is a kid's show. I know that my niece likes that show, or she did at one point.
I have one last question, like to kind of help close up. Like, what would you guys like to see in a future Spider-Man project? Is there like one particular character or story point you'd like to see?
Yes. Yes, thank you for asking, Zach. Yesterday, I read this comic series, a 5-issue series called Spider-Man Spider's Shadow. And it's about Spider-Man getting the black suit, but instead of like giving it up and going to Eddie Brock and whatever, and he just keeps it. And so it's kind of like it's not an official what if story, I don't think, but it's just more like a spinoff. But it does ask the question, what if Spider-Man kept the black suit or the symbiote? He just wears it all the time.
Oh.
And he just, because in the story he wears it so much that it starts to bond with him, and like even when he finally does take it off, the suit is like basically in love with Peter at this point. He wants Peter back. Like
that would be cool to see some one-off.
Yeah, and well,
Marvel movies, like kind of what DC's allowing. Like,
I think that if they take some of their comics and adapt them into movies, like animated movies, I think they could be pretty good. Because there's some good comic, like Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe. Like I would love to see that as a as an animated movie.
That's what he's basically doing in the upcoming Deadpool movie. In a way, he's like killing off previous versions of characters. I mean, Ben Affleck's Daredevil's going to be in there apparently.
That's hilarious.
Elektra. numerous of the old school or the 2000s, early 2000s era X-Men.
Yeah, that's funny.
Just to kill them off.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I was telling, I mentioned it on the group chat where I was like, I would love it if they did a what if where with Tobey Maguire, like a what if episode with Tobey Maguire, and they, instead of, playing around with the suit and all this stuff, and then eventually like giving it back, he just keeps it and see what happens. Like I would love to see that one off, 45 minutes, done. That's one story. Because I saw that comic book series. I don't know what I was watching. I think it was something on YouTube, and they brought it up, and so I was like, that looks really cool. And so I found it on this streaming site called Hoopla. And if you have a library card, then you can use it for free. But you can stream books, you can read books, read comic books, watch TV and movies and stuff. And so I found it
only in America, or as far as you know?
As far as I know, I don't know.
We have international listeners here.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I would assume that you could use it in other countries. But anyway, yeah, that would be the cool answer to my question, or your question.
How about you, Jake? Anything you would like to see in the future of Spider-Man media?
I think it'd be interesting to go through the superior Spider-Man.
Me too.
Where Doc Ock takes over Spider-Man's body.
That'd be awesome to see. So you get like a three-part animated movie.
Yeah,
not even pretty dope. But yeah, I read that whole series as well, and it was really good. They brought it back recently, but I read the first run of it, and including the annuals and all that stuff. It was good. I liked it a lot.
Awesome. Desire is to see, I think we're going to be seeing it too in the future, is Spider-Man live action working with Matt Murdock, Daredevil.
That'd be cool.
We're going to be seeing that.
When you mentioned it earlier, I thought about that, and I was like, it'd be really cool to see, you know, Tom Holland and Charlie Cox.
Yeah, two street fighters of the MC or the Marvel Universe just duking it out. I love the more grounded characters, even though Spider-Man has abilities, but I mean, like shooting web and stuff. But
yeah, but
I just like the non-fantastical
right.
Characters.
He's not as big time as the Avengers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Daredevil he chills in Hell's Kitchen. That's all he does.
I was going to say, and from what I understand, they're kind of revamping Charlie Cox and the Daredevil storyline. Like, Kevin Feige fired all of the old staff, got new people in. So we might see that more grounded look.
Yeah, I need to watch that Echo show. It's Disney Plus's first TVMA show. She was on...
MA? I didn't realize that.
TVMA. Disney Plus's first, like, that they produce. And, you know, she was on Hawkeye. Did y'all watch Hawkeye?
I watched Hawkeye. I didn't realize her series was mature, though.
Yeah, I mean, I just found that out. I knew they were making it and that it was premiering soon, but I didn't know until, like, the other day. It was like, this is Disney Plus's first TVMA show. I was like, oh, thank God. Because
Netflix's Daredevil was their, like, our first time seeing Marvel. Something like that. Yeah, just Marvel,
and
whatever.
Of course, the other ones are also TV, like Jessica Jones and all that. Cool and long talk. We have, this is probably the longest we've done this, but that's okay.
It shows how much we love Spider-Man.
Yeah, I like Spider-Man a lot. He's probably one of my favorite superheroes. So any final thoughts, or can I close this sucker up?
Yeah, can we hear you sing or hum the Spider-Man theme?
Yeah.
No.
I think it's a tune, Justin.
No, I don't want to. That's the score.
Earlier you were humming that, Justin. You're gonna get copyrighted now.
You might as well. You've already done it.
I'm not gonna sing.
Give it to us. The audience wants it.
No, on the violin, like in Spider-Man 2. But
no, I'm good. All right, well, I'm gonna close this bad boy up now. So thanks for listening to us talk about Spider-Man for like 2 hours. So if you want to hit us up, then you can check us out on any social media. We have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. If you want to listen to us, check us out on Spotify or Google, Apple Podcasts, or pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts. And so that'll be it for us this week for the Fantastic Mr. Podcast. So everybody have a good night. And Jake, do your thing. You say something.
Have an amazing day.
Ooh, Spider-Man stuff. Yeah, all right.
Justin, say your thing.
All right, well, y'all have a good night, and bye.